Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is a spoiler warning for The Take. And I'm going off script here. This is a real spoiler warning. I and Mish encourage you to watch this film before you listen to the podcast. Go get it on YouTube. This is a real spoiler warning. We give away The Take and we want you to watch it before we give it away.
But seriously, come back and listen to the podcast.
Even just play the podcast at a low volume.
Very low volume.
Through your headphones, but put your headphones out of your ears. Play through the podcast so we get the ad money. Just the first 20 minutes is all we need.
Yeah.
Then watch the movie, then come back. Or don't. You don't have to. We're just saying we encourage you to watch this one because we want you to have watched it while we talk about it. Is that too much of a big spoiler warning?
That's a good one.
That's a good one? Hey, enjoy the podcast.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
You know, putting a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission X Leguizamarama, the craziest, funniest and wackiest podcast about two friends who are sitting through all of John Leguizamo's oeuvre. Of all of the podcasts to that effect, it's the wackiest.
You know what, Zach? I fucking agree.
All the other ones are very serious.
I reckon you might be right.
They kind of stick to the topic and they talk about his movies a lot more than we do. I am your co-host, your guide through the swampy, or your co-guide through the swampland that is the most underrated actor in the world. My name is Zachary Ruane. You might know me from the gala.
Yeah.
Not the real gala, the Superstars gala, the other gala, the Superstars All-Star
gala. The iView gala.
The iView gala that I did with my best friends.
I wasn't there.
Auntie Donna. You were invited. We made a part for you.
I know. I couldn't come. I have a job.
And I'm joined. It was in the night. And I'm joined as always.
I couldn't do rehearsal. No, we haven't actually discussed that yet. I couldn't go to the rehearsal.
I'm sure. I understand. We're joined by the one and only Mish Witrup, who you might know from
realizing recently that I think it is very, very, very possible that we will not be able to watch every single thing John Leguizamo has ever done, and let me tell you why.
Why?
Some of the things are just impossible to find. He did a lot of short films in the late 80s and early 90s that, I mean, I don't know how the fuck we're going to obtain them.
I could talk to my, I know a guy who knows John Leguizamo.
You do, but like, what's he going to do? Go and then contact John and say, hey, do you have access to that short film you made in 1989?
Yes.
He doesn't know John
We'll get to that in a year and a half.
Yeah, well, but then we're going to have this period of time in a year and a half where we do some really weird, obscure shit for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, but it's directly from John. We'll go, John, do you have this short film? If he says no, we go, yeah, look, I don't feel the need to stress about those ones just yet. Maybe we transition into like a, this is what we know about it. This is the research we've done on it.
Yeah, we could, but I don't think that that's as satisfying.
Ending.
Yeah.
True.
You know what I mean?
True dat.
Someone did send us a DM. I shouldn't say me specifically.
Well, you're the only one reading them. Mish tends to run the Mish and Zach account. I gave her the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, I look after the Instagram, and I've been really busy the last fortnight, which is why you haven't been getting a hell of a lot of good content, and I'm really sorry about that.
But the week before that,
yeah,
I did some content for
and it was really good.
And the week before that. Mish was busy. So that was...
Hey, are you kidding?
I'm being really mean. I'm so sorry. I'm being a cheeky boy. Mish has done some great content. You do the colour scheme. You came up with the colour scheme.
Well, that was actually Reed Down who came up with the colour scheme.
Yeah, but you came up with the idea of that I need to have apps if I want to post anything on that Instagram. You're the one that was like, hey, let's make it difficult.
Oh, yeah.
By having...
That was me.
And I've been like...
Well, look, we can change it up if you want. I'm a bit sick of the look of our
Instagram. Yeah. Oh, man, I've been wanting to bring that up in like a meeting outside of the
podcast. Well, we'll talk about it right now.
Do you want to just drop it? It's going to be easier because then you can just like post a picture of John or like post...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Drop it.
Do we want to drop it?
Yeah, I'm happy to drop it. Let us know in the DMs. Mish will... Hey, maybe do a poll.
All right, I can do a poll. I know how to do those. I can do a poll. What I was trying to say was that we got a DM and someone suggested, and I thought it was actually a very good suggestion based purely off the wordplay, mm-hmm. We should consider doing a Leguizamo marathon where we release like, you know, an episode every day from Monday to Friday or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And maybe we can do that when we watch ER.
Oh, that's fun. Or even like just smash out a bunch.
Yeah. There's also been some requests to do some live podcasts, which I think would be very funny.
Yes, yeah, live podcasts all for them.
Yeah.
I this is off topic, but it's not a Mish and Zach. I mean, it's been a little too on topic in my opinion. to be on topic is to be off topic, and now I'm getting onto the topic of off topic. Which is I've been pushing really hard to do two little special recaps with Mish and Zach. And I don't know if I think I have. I really want to do World Idol, just a two-parter.
You've told
World
me that.
Idol.
Yeah, that's very good.
I think we should like bank a couple of these, then find a couple of weeks and just do a two-parter of World Idol and talk about Kelly Clarkson, Guy, Sebastian representing us.
I had a very obscure idea.
Yeah.
So you know how there's a new season of MasterChef coming out?
Yeah.
We could recap the first episode of the new season as if it was 2009.
And we're just
We're just watching this new show that's come out in 2009, but it's actually the first episode of the new season.
Do you
want to
hear my idea that I had in the moment between you saying you had a weird idea and pitching the new idea?
Okay.
That we do it as though it's in 2021. That we're recording it in 2030. So the joke So we're just like vaguely grabbing it like we're like, oh.
No, that's...
Yeah,
that's
I was watching... Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry I'm late. I was just busy watching Godzilla versus Kong. But being off, so being like, sorry I was late. I was just watching Avengers Endgame.
Oh, that's so funny. That's too much. I think we should probably look at doing something for the new season. Even if we last time they did a new season, we did a live tweeting.
Mm. Yeah, I said, Mish, you should do live tweeting.
And so I've never used my Twitter except then.
And it was like, and you got, this is the most Mish, I'm sorry, I'm going hard at you.
Yeah, what the fuck? What have I done wrong?
No, because it's the most Mish thing I think I've ever encountered that you're like, no, I hate Twitter. I don't know how to tweet.
I hate Twitter.
I don't know how to do tweet. And I'm like, no, I think it's a really good platform for you. You want to be a writer. You're talented. You're sharp. I think it's a really good platform. Give it a go. And you're like, no, I hate it. I'm no good at it. You did it once and you got published.
Yeah, I did.
So I was like, the best zingers about. And you're like, oh, fun. And then you've never done it again.
Yeah. That's right. The next morning, what was I published on? Like Mamma
Mia, like Punky or Junky or Funky.
And it was like the top 10 tweets from the first episode
funny.
Of the new season.
So
and
funny.
Then I have not used it since.
That's, you should tweet.
I should tweet. You I will. Tweet. I'll make it. I'll mark my words. May 2021.
Yeah.
You will see a return of Mish on Twit.
Mish should tweet.
How are you, by the way?
Good.
I haven't spoken to you all week.
No, no, we've been busy bees. I've been good. I've just been not seeing anything at the Melbourne Comedy Festival because I'm a shit cunt.
Mm. But you still got a couple weeks and you will.
Yes, yeah. But I was very stressed about the show that we did that was just on the ABC. So I was prepping for that because that was the first time I performed live in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just chilling, just busy, just trying to put some stuff together with AD, which is my sketch group. That's what I call my sketch group. But I've been very busy, and we like locked in an evening pod, you and I, last week, and then we locked in a movie yesterday.
Yeah.
But we haven't really talked. We haven't talked about the movie. I finished the movie moments before
maybe
we started.
10 minutes ago.
Yeah, like literally the podcast has been going for 10 minutes, 8 minutes. I finished it 10 minutes ago. Mm. We locked in a movie yesterday or the day before?
The day before.
And then I was watching the TV. I was tweeting, live tweeting the gala.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
From Donna account or Zach account?
From Donna account. I didn't do much. I did like 2 tweets. I'm not good at Twitter. You want to say not good at Twitter? I'm not good at Twitter.
I'm actually quite good. I've been published, so yeah. I can help you out if you'd like.
And then I was too tired, and then I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a real trashy thriller. I was not anticipating the type of film it was. So I was like, I'll just watch it in bits and pieces through the day. And then I started watching it on the train ride to work. And I was like, oh, this is a very different film to what I was expecting. Yeah. So then I was like, oh, I kind of want to watch this in more solid chunks. So I watched half at lunch and then half between like I had an hour before Mish got here. But then Mish was like, hey, I'm going to be super early. We can like get into it. And I'm like, oh, no. So then I watched the last half hour of the movie while Mish was sitting across, and I felt very rude because you were like, hello. And I was like, hi.
No, I was early. It's fine.
But, yeah, I just watched the movie, so I'm still processing it.
This is full on. And it's a big movie to be processing. So while you're processing, there's something I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
And this is old news.
This is very Mish and Zach is, you know, while you're processing, I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
And that's not a read at you. That's like either way. It's like, well, you're dealing with your stuff, I'm going to talk, and then you can start talking about your stuff while I internalize my stuff.
Yeah.
Not a lot of listening in our friendship.
No, a lot of just waiting to talk. Waiting to talk and allowing to talk.
Okay, I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go inside for a few moments. You talk while I do that, and then we will reverse. Anyway, go on.
It's amazing, really, that our friends, our mutual friends, have room in their life enough for two of us.
They don't.
So do you reckon they've all picked one in their head?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, and I've come to peace with that. I got a dog now. I'm good.
But so you think that half of our, well, you know, depends on what you think of me, but half of our mutual friends have picked me.
I think most of them have picked you.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, really?
No.
But this is going to become the saddest pity party ever. I have no interest in it. What were you going to say?
Oh,
I'm no interested in this. No, they hate me more.
No, but Zach, I swear they hate me more. All I do is talk about my puppy.
Oh, no, Mish. I get fixated on movies and topics they don't care about. Mm. Anyway, go on.
So this is old news, but I fell into another hole of it, and it's so good. On my way here, I was listening to the radio because I've lost the cord to connect my phone to my car so I can listen to my music. So I was listening to the radio.
The radio. That's like podcasts.
Yes, but with ads.
Live.
More ads.
Think live podcasts, and they just repeat. They can't build.
Mm.
It's like a live podcast without, without running jokes.
Yeah. And they were talking about Alec Baldwin, who I now completely associate with his not Spanish wife.
Yes.
And I am obsessed with the...
So you're thinking, is this what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The not Spanish wife.
Yeah. It's very interesting though, isn't it?
Mm.
Like has nothing to do with the film. This is basically just like a bit of homework for our listeners. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Alec Baldwin and his not Spanish wife and enjoy the whole. Enjoy it. The amount of interviews and like articles and the stuff with Alec and his not Spanish wife, Ilaria, or Hillary, which is her name.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Why is she pretending not to
be? How he would just be like, my wife is from Spain, and he would like impersonate his wife with a very thick Spanish accent. She's from Boston.
Is she an actress?
A model actress.
It's an odd thing to do. I would understand a comedian doing something like that. I would understand, like, if L.E.G., you know, if Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to convince you that his character was him. You know what I mean? Like, but she doesn't really have, a reason to be doing this, does she?
No, not really, except that, like, I mean, for him, Clementine Ford did a very, very interesting kind of series.
Yeah, she always
does
stories
about
Insta stories.
Loves an Insta story, Clementine.
She does. I prefer her articles to her Insta stories, but I think she prefers her Insta stories to her articles.
Well, she only really started through the Instagram thing with the Insta stories from lockdown.
Oh, okay.
And now she's currently covering a lot of maths, and I don't watch maths because that show is a fucking dumpster fire.
Mm.
But every once in a while I watch a Clementine Ford story.
It's a bit of cognitive dissonance there with the maths content.
Yeah. And she was saying how, like, for Alec it's this, like, image of having a Spanish wife.
Mm.
And it's like, it's perfectly okay to have a very hot Boston wife.
Yeah.
That's fine. Everyone still thinks you're the fucking man, Alec. Like, you don't need...
a Spanish wife. Whatever. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting stuff.
Basically all I'm saying is... and I'm also just speaking to you directly. I'm assuming you knew all about the Ilaria Baldwin thing.
Not a lot. Like, not a huge amount. Like, I just heard that it emerged that his wife was pretending to be from Spain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Odd.
Very odd. Should we talk about this film? I'm really keen.
I'm really keen to hear your thoughts because you sent me a message. Like, you tried to bait me.
I did. Okay, so anyone who's been listening to my podcast for quite some time, mm-hmm, we'll know that... Which is four of you. Hi, guys.
Hi.
One of them is Tom Armstrong, who is editing this. Tom, if you get to this point, feel free to put in like a funny little sound effect right now. Hi, Tom.
Great sound effect,
That was really good.
And if it wasn't there, it's because we forgot to
tell
you to
do
this.
That, yeah. So, what was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So... that we are making it currently a very small amount of money for this doing this podcast, it's still too much for where we're at in our ability.
Anyway. Who was I saying? I was talking to Auntie Donna member Mark Bonanno, Auntie Donna's my sketch group, and I said, I'm watching this movie in my lunch break. I was like, sorry, I got to slip out, watch a movie in the podcast studio. And he was like, He was like, why are you always watching John Leguizamo movies as a bit of a joke? And then I was like, basically I started yelling at him and I was, as a joke, I was like, it's so I don't always bring my desire to alienate audiences into this project. I was like, it's because I have a deep-seated and very strange desire to alienate audiences, and it's so I don't bring it into my cash cow. And then I thought, how cruel.
And this is the nice balance between you and me, because you want to alienate your audience and I'm trying to fucking build one. So we're fucked. Anyway. Go on.
No, it's just you need a different vehicle.
Yeah. I picked the wrong mode of transport. Anyway.
This needs to be about number two or three for both of us for our mental health.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anyway.
Anyway.
A Zach has been saying to me from the start of this entire podcast project, what was I going to say?
Because you baited me. You baited me to about
that
this project.
I would message him. So 99% of the time I watch the film before Zach does.
Yes.
It's like a night for me. Like I sit down with a big bowl of pasta.
Yes.
You know, my partner's there. We sit through something that John Leguizamo has been in. Zach tends to bash it out about 2 hours before we record.
Yes.
That's fair. So I had this really annoying habit where I would message Zach after I'd seen it saying, have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, I really liked this one. Or, oh my God, this one was a piece of shit. That kind of thing. So I'm trying to stop doing that.
I don't mind to watch the movie. I don't mind just checking in. Because sometimes you send I can't wait to watch the movie, which is very clearly just making sure you remember to watch the movie. But then other times you're like, that was shit. That was shit ass.
Which I didn't do for this film, but I'm so keen to talk about this film.
So you messaged me, you said, I'm 15 minutes in, and I ignored it. I didn't even go, don't say it. I just ignored that message. But I'm keen to hear what you think as well, because 15 minutes in is interesting. It's ominous. Would you like to do your introduction, then we'll talk about this film?
Okay, I'll do the blurb.
Great.
So, The Take is a drama thriller from 2007, not to be confused with the TV series The Take from 2009 about a criminal sociopath played by Tom Hardy. It looks pretty good, but John Leguizamo is not in it. The Take, starring John Leguizamo, is set in working-class Los Angeles. East Los Angeles, to be exact. Felix Della Penna is a family man that drives an armoured vehicle for a living. One shift, late at night, his truck is hijacked by a very angry man and his very angry friends. Felix is shot in the head, but he survives, much like Harrison Ford in Regarding Henry, when he is shot in the head and also survives, but John does it better in this movie.
Oh my God! I didn't even make that connection!
Yeah, no!
Oh my God!
Felix's wife, Rosie Perez.
Doris Gibson Leguizamo'd him!
Yeah, I know!
Oh no!
Leguizamo got Leguizamo'd! Anyway.
He got Regarding Henry. Anyway, you're gone.
Felix's wife, Rosie Perez, endeavours to nurse her husband back to health as he attempts to recover from his intense pain and emotional damage. When Felix discovers that he is a suspect in the crime, he decides to find the real culprit himself, despite his full-on mood swings, inability to keep his penis hard, and his little to no recollection of the event. John plays Felix, the lead role. Fuck yes.
Can I say, is that everything?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I thought of something as I was watching it. One word came to my head, and that word was lead Guizamo.
Oh, very good.
I thought, what a thrill. Do you know what's amazing is we have talked about The Lincoln Lawyer. Ever
yes.
since we watched The Lincoln Lawyer very early on in this, I call it a project. It makes it sound classy. Early on in this project, we watched The Lincoln Lawyer, and I've been saying, John needs his Lincoln Lawyer moment.
Mm-hmm.
This film was directed by the same guy as The Lincoln Lawyer.
And we haven't done The Infiltrator yet, but he's also in The Infiltrator.
But I would put money on that film being a... He's in it
he's
in the
a
first
well,
act.
Well, Brian
he pops
Cranston
up.
Is the poster.
I'm going to put money on he's in it in the first act. He pops up in the towards the beginning of the third act.
Mm.
That's the John Leguizamo pattern. But
and he dies. Like, there's a good chance he's going to die.
Yes. Mm. Oh, if he's lucky, he gets a good death scene.
This movie, arguably of all the movies we've seen so far, has the most John.
He's in it so much. I'm curious to hear what you thought.
Oh, my God. So, firstly, do you think when John got this script that when he was reading it, he thought to himself, Regarding Henry...
So is this why you messaged me when you were like, I'm 15 minutes in? Because I did not make the Regarding Henry connection.
Mm.
It is the same plot. You wouldn't know this if you listened to our Regarding Henry podcast because I spent the entire time talking about the layout of the cinema I used to work at. But it is exactly the same plot, and I can't believe I didn't think of that.
It is the exact same plot but directed – it could essentially have been the same script but directed by two very different people at a very different time for a very different audience.
But both films I would put in cinemas 1, 2, or 3 in the Jam Factory.
Oh, really?
This is very much a cinema 2.
Okay, cool.
This is very much cinema 1 or 2. I have a feeling
we're going to disagree on some stuff.
But this film, this is where this movie goes. You know, this movie spends a week in cinema 1 and then it goes to 4 and then it's gone.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's the same sort of position in terms of where it lies in the market.
I just want to know whether John picked up the script, read it and went... Well, no one really saw Regarding Henry, so I have to worry about that. But this is the exact same.
Like, this is my time. Yeah. I reckon when he was doing Regarding Henry, he went to the premiere and he thought, weird choice, weird choice, weird choice. This is how I would have done it. This is how I would have done
it. But also probably going like, I can't believe I was in a fucking movie with Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think at the core, right, I decided I didn't want to be – this is – I'll come back around – when I decided I didn't really want to be an actor in Talking Marks, because I do a lot of acting, but I decided I didn't want to be an actor, like I do auditions and I do drama and like that was my only driving thing. I decided I didn't want to be that when I would go and see shows and plays and I would talk to other actors or films and I would talk to other actors, I'd realize that they would spend the entire time wanting to be on that stage. And they would spend the entire time going, if I was playing that part, I'd do it differently, or I'd do this, or I'd do that.
Mm.
They would look, and I realized that I didn't want to be an actor because whenever I went and saw shows, I was always like, this is what I would do the whole thing. This is what, like, how I would change the script. This is how I would block it. Like, I would be looking at the whole and not really. I'd maybe be recasting, but I wouldn't be putting myself onto that stage.
Yep, I hear what you're saying.
Whereas actors very much what, and I reckon Johnny Legs went to the premiere of Regarding Henry and was like, oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. If I was, and he was young, he was arrogant, he didn't know where he was on the pecking order yet, and he was like, if I had been in Harrison Ford's part, I would have played.
Would have done
like
this, that, and the other.
And then he thought, well, that's never going to happen.
And fucking flash and forward.
What landed on his lap, but essentially a remake of Regarding Henry, but with a thriller.
The Take Two of Regarding Henry is the full title.
Yeah, Take Two
Regarding Henry.
Here's the big difference. Regarding Henry, they say, did they ever catch the guy that did it? And then they say something like, yeah, or yeah, I think they say, yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah.
And that's it. In the Take, they go, did they ever catch the guy that did this? They're like, nah. And then he goes, well, I'm going to take this into my own hands because I'm in LA. I got the director of Lincoln Lawyer, which doesn't exist yet, but he's following me around and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
It was very
I'm going to launch.
Yeah, go launch.
I'm going to launch straight into it. I'd never heard of this film.
Me neither.
Never heard of it. I don't know why. Because I think it's fucking sick.
You liked it? I fucking loved it.
Oh, damn. Oh. Okay. But you really did like
it? Yeah, I thought you didn't like it.
No, I thought you didn't like it.
Oh, what a thrill.
No, this might be one of my favourite movies that we've watched so far.
Do you know, I was halfway through it and I was saying to Tom, who does our audio, I was saying, this one's a really good one this week. And he was like, yeah, I thought so too. I loved your riff about where you were pretending to be theatre directors. And I was like, oh, no.
You're thinking of My Name Is Earl.
You're thinking of the episode that you just listened to. I'm talking about the movie because I don't think so much about the final product anymore as I do the 2 hours of movie watching I have to do each week. And I said, I was like, this is really good. And I was like, this is why really I'm doing this.
Well, yeah, I had that moment. So basically the way – like I generally speaking choose the movies that we watch because like just to kind of get a bit of variety, Zach's a busy boy, so it's easier for me to do it.
And every time I've offered, it's always been like, are you fucking serious?
There was one time you suggested Titan AE and I put it off by a week because I just couldn't.
Like, no, but it's always – no, this wasn't a read on you. This is like I'm always like, oh, what if we watch Ice Age 2? And you're like, we watched Ice Age 1
last week. It's always my recommendations. They're always a bit like, Mish is very good at keeping it evenly distributed.
Doing my very best. But
and I always say, can we do a 30-second ad? And you're like, we're done. We're
so
out of them.
This week we were going to do a filler. So it's essentially like a filler movie, like one that's not really well known, probably isn't that enjoyable, can be done, can be watched while you cook your dinner, right?
A filler thriller.
A filler thriller. Oh, Zach! And that little soundbite is why you are far more successful than me. I could never have done such a thing. Fuck yeah, Zach. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Anyway.
What a good vibe. I thought we were going to have to fight. And we were both getting in ready to fight. And
I'm
like,
waiting for it. So far, yeah. The only fight we've had is when you gave Arabian Nights 4.5 Leguistamos.
Yeah, and I stand by that.
That's some bullshit.
Because I've got an ego on me.
That's true. So, yeah, this was meant to be a filler thriller.
Filler thriller.
And I tell you what, I put it on and I opened my laptop at the same time that I put the movie on because I had to pay a couple of bills.
Mm-hmm.
And those bills did not get paid for a full hour and 40 minutes, which is the length of the film, because it fucking had me. And I was like, we've got a fucking good one. This movie... I found, and I was like, why have I not heard of it?
Yeah.
Why is it that the director of The Lincoln Lawyer, which is a huge film, a Hollywood blockbuster, nominated for awards, I don't think, did it win anything?
Nah,
it was probably on at the same year as some other big fucking film. How is it that we all know about The Lincoln Lawyer and Matthew McConaughey is on the fucking front cover of Who Magazine and 50 Hottest when this movie was only made a mere 3 or 4 years earlier and... It is just as good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That John is just as hot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I think potentially this is the bridge between Leguizolliwood and Dad Guizamo.
Yeah.
Like that little bridge because he's fucking hot, but, man, he's dad.
He's daddy. Daddy Zamo.
Yeah.
It's not Dad Guizamo.
No, this is like a whole...
Daddy Zamo. Which is very similar to Dad Guizamo.
But not quite, because he's a dad.
This is very Daddy Zamo. I love that it's getting complicated and overlappy.
The man has zero body fat.
No, he doesn't. But he's also... He's also not too built either. He's got a really great, like...
What a bod. But, not the point. Like, he's hot. But he's just as good as Matthew in Lincoln Lawyer. This movie is so entertaining.
This is lead Guizamo. This is Johnny Legs getting to stretch those acting muscles and pulling it off. Not just him. Mm. What a cast.
Oh, my God. What? Okay. So, firstly, I don't know how many movies he's done with Rosie Perez. I'm just going to ask him on Instagram. He won't answer us. He did share our image on his story today.
Did he?
Yeah,
great.
The My Name Is Earl one. It just said, yeah, it me.
He's very Dad Guizamo.
So Rosie Perez plays his wife. They've been in like 150 movies together or something.
Yeah.
She is phenomenal.
I need to... go down a Rosie Perez hole.
Yeah.
Oh, a Rosie Perez-a-thon.
A Rosie Perez-a-thon.
Because she's so good in this film, and I've seen her in bits and pieces, and I'm just like, she is brutally underrated.
Oh, brutally underrated.
She's so good, and she's so good in this. And
Maybe we could do a Leguizamarathon. Like as like a bonus few episodes for this podcast where we watch like 3 Rosie Perez films.
Yeah, I love Rosie Perez. She's
we could put it
so
on our
much.
Recaps channel.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff with Rosie Perez. Mm. I love a Rosie Perez.
Oh, we love Rosie Perez. The guy who plays the head detective is also the guy from Shall We Dance, that Richard Gere.
He's Bobby Cannavale in that.
Yeah, he plays the guy who's like, oh, no, I'm doing this for the chicks, but then he turns out to be a gay man.
Can I ask you a question about Bobby Cannavale?
Yes.
You're a straight woman.
I am.
I feel like he is just like pure sex appeal. Or am I off the money with that?
He... Mm, keeping in mind, of course, what I find physically attractive.
Put a beard on him.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
You get beard.
I watched,
put a beard on him and some chip nail polish and I'm, yeah, sure.
He's just got, he's so confident as a performer.
No, he's very
This movie is just like underrated actor after underrated actor. It's like everyone in this film should be more famous than they are.
Oh, yeah, incredible. There's even this a scene with a sex worker who takes them to one of the bad guys' houses.
Mm.
And her performance is amazing.
Mm.
Like, and she's only in it for like 30 seconds. I'm like, who is she?
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Really great. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. What was that, the 15 minutes in to say, and I'm loving it?
Yes. It was like, please watch this. Cause, well, no, the reason I messaged you was because I didn't want to be like, oh, my God, like, you have to watch this movie. It's so good. But I was hoping that you were watching it the night before so that you could be watching it with your partner because it deserved a couch.
Well, look, what I did, like I said, is I started watching it on my phone and I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this on my phone. So I watched it on a proper screen in two parts, but I watched it more properly than I had been intending to because I really did think the cover, you look at the DVD cover and it's like, it's and that's fine. I think it's a bit like a Magic Mike.
It looks like a filler thriller.
It's a bit like a Magic Mike situation sometimes where you've just got to market the film, you know, like, I think sometimes people think you've got to market, but that, like, I think you've kind of got to, like, make it look like a filler thriller so people pick it up at the video shop.
I mean, that could very well have said Body Count.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that just looks like a thriller, but I think that's okay. It's just a shame because, I love this movie.
Yeah, I love this movie.
And
I'm genuinely disheartened that this film didn't do so well because we've been talking now for fucking what feels like 72 years about how John Leguizamo should have had a Legvolution. And and what all he needed was his own Lincoln lawyer. And this is fucking it.
This is his Lincoln
lawyer. I'm sure when this movie came out and it didn't get the fucking credit or the praise that Lincoln lawyer got, that John was probably like, are you joking? I'm great.
I really thought this was... Because yeah. I think that it's very much a first film. Like, it's got... But it's so good. It's so, it's good.
There's only one thing I'd change.
Yeah.
About this movie. Oh, yeah. There's a couple of things.
There's a bit... No, this is the thing. It's not... But it's not perfect in a way that it is like an unpolished gem. It's not like the movie Unpolished Gems. It's like an unpolished gem. It's a first feature. It's got, and it's you know, it's funny. You asked me a few weeks ago what my least favorite genre is, and I said middling dramas.
Mm-hmm. Like Regarding Henry.
Like Regarding Henry. But I have a real soft spot, and I always, I'm constantly reminded for like just solid, like the flip, but the sister, the like flip of that, which is like a really solid drama that's not trying to win Oscars,
yeah,
that's not trying to change the world, but is really really good.
Okay,
I can't express it because I just ragged on like Regarding Henry. No, I think Notebook's probably more, not that I've seen it.
You've never seen The Notebook?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to be mad about it because I've never seen The Godfather.
You've never seen The Godfather? No, that's fine. You should watch The Godfather. I've never seen, hey, this is one that I, do you want to know my deepest, darkest secret?
Yeah, I'll tell you a couple of mine.
And I tell you only this because you're not going to judge me because of what you just told me.
And also, I'm not going to tell anybody. It's just between you and me.
But I've never seen The Godfather Part 2.
The only judgment I have is because of your reaction to my not seeing the first one.
But I was
one.
Just joking.
All right, then I figured.
That was just a bit.
I've never seen a Star Wars film except for the one with the little boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you don't get sci-fi.
Yeah. I've also never seen Pocahontas.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I've never seen Gladiator.
That's worth a watch.
Yeah.
I watched that again the other week.
Have you seen Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
Have you seen Grease?
Yeah.
I don't know why I've just started listing.
I haven't seen either of them in a very long time.
Dirty Dancing is such a good movie.
Dirty Dancing is the sort of movie that just, you like, you'd be hard-pressed to make that now.
Oh, yeah. They tried to remake it.
Yeah.
They wanted to remake it. The scene
in
that.
I can see how you could do a remake of it now.
The scene in that where Baby and Johnny fuck for the first time. And they do it to that. She's like, I'm scared of everything, but most of all, I'm scared of living my whole life not with you or whatever it is. And then they have a moment where they have, like, deep eye contact and he's topless. And then she goes, dance with me. And they dance to Cry to Me.
Mm.
Is one of the sexiest scenes in movies.
Patrick Swayze is very sexy in that movie.
Fucking sexy.
Do you know she got a nose job?
Jennifer Grey, yeah. And that's when she stopped getting
her
work.
Career, yeah. Fun fact. Everyone loves that.
It's kind of like Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan.
But Meg Ryan didn't have a distinct thing. Like, to get rid of your distinct...
I know what you're saying.
Didn't have, like...
Barbara Streisand has a nose.
Barbara Streisand has freely admitted to getting plastic surgery, but has never gotten plastic surgery on her nose as a matter of principle. Because of anti-Semitism.
Have you ever seen Funny Girl?
No.
Oh, my God. I watched it again. So, you know, I've told you I have this big thing for musicals.
Yes.
My mum, like, forced it down me. Yeah. Funny Girl was one of my mum's favourite movies and probably still is. She ain't dead.
That's just because she hasn't seen The Take.
Yeah, that's true. And I rewatched Funny Girl and fuck, it's good. And fuck, Barbara Streisand is good. And the last scene in that, I did a Q&A on my Instagram story the other day and I told people about it. You should really, like, watch that. The last scene in that is Barbara Streisand character Fanny Brice singing to essentially a giant audience of people, but about her ex-husband. And it's called My Man, and it is one of the most heartbreaking, tear-jerking moments. You have to. I'll watch that with you.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Like,
we'll have a sleepover. We'll have a sleepover. We'll make vegan lasagna.
Tacos. I really want to make tacos.
All right, we'll make vegan tacos with your taco press and we'll watch Funny Girl and a Rosie Perez film.
Do you know the film Take This Waltz? Sarah Polley directed it.
I don't. I do know Shall We Dance.
So I thought of Sarah Polley. The reason I thought of Sarah Polley is because she's in something. No, I have no reason why I thought of Sarah Polley. No reason at all.
Well, I mentioned Shall We Dance before because the guy who plays the detective, sexy guy, he's in Shall We Dance.
But no, Take This Waltz was just a film I thought of when you said The Notebook and I said no. Take This Waltz is a better example of a more recent film. That's a very underrated film. The dialogue was not... like for me, but like the storytelling and the story that it tells is really a really good drama with great actors being good at it.
I think that The Take might be one of the most underrated films I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, because I'd never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
But this is the thing, how many great movies are out there that just didn't have their moment or didn't have their marketing campaign?
Do you know what I'd love is a list of filler thrillers that should have been feature thrillers.
Yeah, filler thrillers that should have cut through more. God, this is what I miss about video shops. Remember you're picking a movie, popping it on and going, what the fuck?
And when you couldn't look up the trailer, like I have this really bad habit of like sprawling through Netflix in the thrillers section, right? And I'll see a movie, I'm like, fuck, that looks good. And then I'll watch the trailer.
And then be like,
and then I'm like, no, I can't really be fucked. I miss Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I miss Video Easy. I grew up with
Blockbuster. My partner, I'm the worst at this. My partner will be like, do you want to watch this? Because the picture looks good. And I'll be like, well, I haven't heard of it. I haven't heard of the director. And I won't watch it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have a friend, CK. Hi, CK. I know you're listening. Big love.
Shout out to you, CK. Do you know what? And while we're at it, I'm going to do another shout out to our editor, Tom Armstrong.
Shout out to Tom.
Shout out to Tom. Insert sound effect here.
But CK watched...
That's right, two listeners. CK and Tom.
Well,
if
I know.
Hey, also, CK, Tom, if you want, when Zach and I watch Funny Girl at this sleepover with vegan tacos, come along.
You're both welcome.
You're both welcome.
You're both welcome.
Everyone who listens to this podcast.
I think you would love Mish. I think you would love CK and Jacinta, even though you did take that swipe where you said it's as hard to have a dog as it is to have children. I think they're willing to forgive you. They sent me a message saying it was
thanks.
A real thrill. Anyway, CK, the way he got into David Lynch was because he, exactly what we're describing, he saw a VHS at the video shop of a thriller that looked interesting. It was Lost Highway. Popped that on and was like, what the fuck is this?
Mm.
I'm like, what a way to discover something.
I just thought of one.
Yeah?
And I think it's on Netflix. It might be on Prime. And it stars Octavia Spencer and it's just called Ma.
Ah, yes.
So I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
And I wanted a trashy thriller, trashy horror thriller, which is often my Friday night.
Yeah.
And I put it on. It was fucking great. She was insane. Octavia Spencer is good. She'd be a good one to do.
She's great.
Yeah, Octavia Spencer would be a good one to follow. Although right now I'm still riding the Kathy Bates or Catherine O'Hara.
I'm also going through a real Viola Davis.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So this movie was sick. I loved it. I just go watch it.
100%. So it's not currently on a streaming service because it hasn't gotten enough, because it's fucking underrated.
It's underrated.
So we had to rent it on YouTube, but it is genuinely worth the money.
If you like John Leguizamo, let's be honest.
You do.
If you like
Rosie Perez,
which even if you can't think of who that is, if you can't put a face to a name,
you do.
And it's not your fault you can't put a face to a name. It's Hollywood's.
If you want to have sex with Bobby
Cannavale,
which you do.
Then you should watch this film. It's really good. It's a really great little character piece.
Oh, so good.
And just so lovely to see John getting a whole fucking movie to do his thing.
Oh, it was just this moment of like, I understood why we did this podcast.
Oh, my God.
There's a scene in this movie. I don't want to give too much away because I really do want everyone to watch it. But we've already given it away.
Go watch it. And we'll put it in the spoiler warning as well.
Oh, yeah. We will. There's a bit where he wants to take more drugs and his, like, painkillers. And his wife is saying no. Like, no, you're not due for another couple of hours. No. And he gets really mad. And how good was that scene?
And she was really good. It was really...
Oh, she was so good.
It was a really sensitive scene. It was a scene that could have been played so poorly by everyone involved. And it was handled so well. Everyone was good. John Leguizamo is a really good dramatic actor.
We just haven't gotten to see that
for so long because Hollywood doesn't give John Leguizamo
enough
opportunities he deserves.
Stop putting John in 1 to 2 episodes of My Name is Earl.
Stop putting John in the first act to tell fucking hero boy what they need to go and do. No.
Stop putting John 1.5 metres behind the lead in any climactic scene.
Sick of it.
I want him in the forefront.
We want more John. I love John. I thought he was great in this. Do you want to give it a rating?
Yeah, I do.
I give it fucking five.
That's a Leguizamo-rama.
That's a Leguizamo-rama. Leguizamo-rama.
It's absolutely 100% worth the watch.
Oh, isn't it great? It's great. What a thrill.
And while you're at it, watch Shall We Dance?
You should watch Take This Waltz. Take This Waltz. I think you'd love it.
Have you ever seen Shall We Dance?
No.
So it's Richard Gere learns to tango. And Richard Gere also learned to play the trumpet for the Cotton Club. And he also learned to tap dance for Chicago. He also shoves gerbils up his ass.
Is this true? Oh, that's a rumour that got out about him.
Yeah, poor guy. How annoying to be, like, incredibly successful. And while in the midst of your success, some cunt puts out some article that you like to shove hamsters up your ass.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a lie. I mean, not Not obviously.
Not obviously.
But I'm assuming it is.
It's been said of so many people that.
Oh really?
It's hard to. It's one of those like rumors that are sprinkled through a lot of people.
Hypothetical for you.
Yeah. Oh, can I say one more Cannavale film?
Yeah.
Station Agent. I watched that the other day. It's the same director as. I'm gonna fuck it up. Station Agent. It's on Stan in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it's a film I've been meaning to watch for many, many, many years because I'm a big fan of Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage is in it.
Oh, I love Peter Dinklage.
It's Peter Dinklage, Patricia Clarkson, and Bobby Cannavale, and Michelle Williams is in it as well.
Ah.
And it's just a really, lovely, lovely indie film, the sort they don't make anymore. And it's really, really beautiful and just really well realized. It was kind of Peter Dinklage's breakout moment, and it's a real treat.
Great, noted.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Hypothetical.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby Cannavale's great.
You're quite successful. You're in the public eye a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
What would you do if tomorrow you woke up and there was an article released that Zachary Thomas Ruane likes to shove guinea pigs in his rectum? Would you be like, that's so funny?
How reputable is the source? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
Daily Mail. Carl Stefanovic says it. Carl Stefanovic reads the.
Can I ask, in this hypothetical, am I shoving gerbils up my arsehole?
No. Well, I mean, unless you do. Whatever you're currently doing right now.
Okay.
Like in your life, in your private time, mm-hmm. I can confirm to our listeners that currently you do not have a guinea pig up your ass. That. Okay, well, we've been sitting in this room together now for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so that guinea pig's dead.
Not necessarily.
How would you keep that guinea pig alive? You
put some food up there for it.
You can't breathe. There's no oxygen up there.
You can breathe. Yeah, hypothetically. what would I do? If it was like the Daily Mail, I think I would just... I would call a publicist I've worked with in the past that's promoted a live show and I'd say, what should I do? Okay. I would ask them what I should do. Okay. And I would go, because I would go, I would go, this is ridiculous, but I can, you know, I could see how it could blow up if I handled it wrong. And then I would, I don't know, I'd probably ignore it. I'd probably just leave it.
Fair enough.
I think I would deny it. But then denying it usually draws attention to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would ignore it. And I would send a cease and desist. I would get a lawyer to send a cease and desist to the Daily Mail.
Great.
Because that's a weird thing to be accused of and it would be a burden and I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
It's a lot and it's not right that Richard Gere has to put up with
that. Yeah, I feel sorry for Richard Gere, but also not really. He is a multimillionaire. He's very successful. I'm sure he's very happy.
You can't say that he'd be happy. You can't know that.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I don't know that.
I think,
but he's also in Blade Runner.
He's not.
No, wait. Blade yes, Runner. He is. No,
that's Harrison Ford.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh fuck!
I watched Blade Runner the other day.
What's Richard Gere in?
He's in Officer and a Gentleman.
That's the right. That's it.
He was in a lot of romantic
Pretty
comedies.
Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Fuck, he's good looking.
Fun fact about Pretty Woman, and then we will wrap this up. That was originally a spec script called 3000 because $3,000 was the amount of money he paid her. And it was originally a very hard-hitting drama, a very, tough, hard-hitting drama that Martin Scorsese was attached to about a sex worker in a really difficult world and this, man of wealth, pulling her out, and it was about the world that she came from. It was about the inequality. It was about the power imbalance. It was a really tough, hard-hitting drama that had a lot of, themes of drug use in it, and then it was through rewrites that it became Pretty Woman.
That's very cool. I did know that.
You did know that. But thank you for listening, because some of our audience didn't.
No, exactly.
So that was
it's a
really
very interesting
good.
Story.
Yeah. Did you know as well that... Nah, that's it. Hey, what a thrill. This was a fun podcast. I'm so glad we both enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this movie.
I haven't had this good of a time since Land of the Dead 5 or 6 weeks ago. I loved Land of the Dead. I love this very different film.
I just love John.
Mish, thank you for having us.
There's one review here on the Apple, 5 stars. Zach and Mish are sick.
Thanks, man. You too.
You too. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.